right. Well, tonight our subject is a little bit heavy, and when I say well, it's also as deep as a well. My own experience with it is far too great, and all the information I found out about it was just really amazing. Anxiety, and I'm not going to say fear, I'll explain why, but fearfulness are big parts of what we live with in our lives, especially in the day and age that we live. So I'm going to temper that, because the opposite of fearfulness and anxiety is joy and peace. And that is what God offers us, and he offers us a way out of fear and anxiety, even when we're in the stay in the stressful situation that we're in. Now, I want to begin by reading. I feel a little cross-eyed. I'd like to begin by reading Psalm 111, which is a psalm that tells about some of the character traits and the attributes of God, which I hope that as I go through this talk, you will see it's the necessity to focus on if we're going to have victory over anxiety and stress and fearfulness. So I'm going to read that first, and then a few verses from Psalm 112, which speak about the person who does focus on God. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Then Psalm 112 speaks about this person who fears the Lord and who is righteous in his sight. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. Isn't that a wonderful verse? He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady, and he will not be afraid. Then I want to read to you from really the part of scripture that I'm going to be mainly speaking about. And that's Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Can you hear me, or am I wafting in and out? Because it sounds wafting in and out. It's okay. Okay. This is where the joy comes in, and this is where the peace comes in. And a lot of people have said that Philippians is the book of joy. And Paul begins by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, it says, but I'll say sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Aren't those wonderful words? Anxiety and fear. So what is anxiety, and what is fear, and what is fearfulness? Anxiety is the state of being anxious. It's uneasiness or having a troubled mind about some event or some concern that we're not sure about. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. We may be put in a hard spot. We may be in a difficult situation. It can make us queasy, kind of sick to our stomach. It makes us tense and preoccupied, and it takes away our focus from what we want it to be on, so that we're focusing on these things that are causing us trouble. Fear is a God-given emotion, and it's a strong, uncontrollable, unpleasant emotion that's caused by actual or perceived danger or the threat of a danger. So fear is given to us by God as a tool, because what it does, it gets our adrenaline going, it makes our minds alert, we see, we hear better, we're all of a sudden aware that we need to know what's going on around us. So fear itself is not bad, but fearfulness is. Fearfulness is a state of being, somewhere we live. Something continual and controlling. It's a harmful emotion. It can lead to irrational behavior, and it can lead to doing things that you wouldn't choose to do normally. Very bad choices. No one signs up for anxiety or fearfulness. We wouldn't stand in line to get a piece of this. But they're a part of the life we live, and how we cope with them is the critical point. I thought a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ when I was studying for this. And I thought about him, and I thought, was Jesus anxious? Did he have anxiety? Was he fearful? And I thought, Jesus at least was tempted with these things, because the Bible tells us he was tempted in every way, just as you and I are tempted. The Bible tells us that he cried out to his Father with loud cries and tears. And we know, and we'll be learning this again pretty soon, that he suffered anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. But what Jesus did when he cried out with loud cries and tears to his Father, he looked to his Father whom he trusted. And of course he knew him perfectly, because he was the incarnate person of the Godhead. And whatever God gave him, Jesus took and went on. He carried on. So he looked to God, he took what God gave him, and he carried on with what he was supposed to do. He was tempted in every way, but without sin. And it's good to remember that he's our good shepherd. And shepherds in the Mideast don't drive their sheep, they lead their sheep. So Jesus always goes before us. And while you and I don't know what's around the corner, he always does. And he's always there before we get there. So whatever we're going to face, whatever hardship, whatever thing in life that we're afraid of or anxious about, Jesus is going to be there before we get there. I find that really comforting. So what are you and I anxious about and fearful of? And for me, I thought the number one thing was losing control. Do you like to be in control? Does it give you a safe feeling when you're the one that's in control and you're calling the shots? I've been that way all my life. I'm trying to let go, little by little. Every time I try to be God, it never works out. It never works out for me, and it never works out for the people that are around me. I think they'll be really happy when I quit. So we're prone to seeking trust and security in ourselves or in someone that's close to us. If we're married, a lot of times that's our husband. Sometimes it's our children, you know, depending on what our circumstances are. Sometimes maybe it's a good friend. Sometimes it could be our pastor. But we're prone to doing that. And if we lose that person because they move away or retire or die or something interrupts that relationship, then we're left with fear and anxiety. And the answer is not let go and let God. That is really simplistic. But the answer is let go and run hard to God. You want to learn to trust him more than you trust yourself or someone else. And you need to be reminded, like someone reminded me, that God's the one that turns coal into diamonds. So our situation can be dark and black and messy as coal, but God can take it and turn it into a diamond. You and I can be dark and black and messy as coal. And God can take us and turn us into a gorgeous, shiny gem. That's what he's in the business of doing. We actually have anxieties and fearfulness across a whole broad spectrum of our lives, past, present, and future. And I'm going to name some of the things that I think women have anxiety and fearfulness about. Number one, about ourselves, being who we really are as opposed to who we think we should be, or who someone else thinks we should be, or who we think someone else thinks we should be. About other women, comparing ourselves. I'm sure you never do that. What they have, what they're able to do, how they look, how they perceive us, all the way they keep their house in order, and their whole lives seem so orderly. And ladies, they seem that way until you might have an opportunity to walk in their shoes. And then believe me, everybody has issues in their lives. And I've often thought when I looked at someone else and felt, I wish that my life were more like that. And then I've thought about their lives and that I would have to take the whole nine yards if that were the case. And I've never wanted it that much. And I don't think you would either. I'm going to get dry here. Another thing that we have a lot of anxiety about and fearfulness is losing those we love, and this is a big one. We love those closest to us, some more than others. We love our parents, our siblings, our husbands, our children, sometimes really close friends that we're very fond of and have a history with. In fact, we love them so much that sometimes they can displace God in our affections. And we want to guard against that because that isn't a good thing. They can become little idols. And then we feel anxious because we have such a big responsibility toward these people. As our parents age, as our children are growing, as our husband's needs change and have to be met. Trillia Newbell is a young woman who writes and speaks. She's with the Southern Baptist Convention. And she found a remedy for what she calls fearful, controlling, hungry, anxious hearts. And it's understanding, knowing, and finding more of God. We fight these fears and anxieties by remembering the character of God, who God is. He's loving, he's gracious, he's all wise, he's sovereign. We can trust him. He is trustworthy. And ladies, he loves you and he loves me. And that love never, ever changes. We can never do anything to make him love us more. And we can never not do anything that would make him love us less. God loves us the same continually. He's immutable. He never changes. Remember Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything in our life is changing, often moment by moment, day by day, year by year. But the one static thing that is so wonderful is that God never changes. He's always the same. We can count on him. Some of the other things I think we fear and have anxiety about are our physical well-being. Is my job secure? Is my husband's job secure? Are we going to have enough money for retirement? Am I going to be single for another whole year? Am I going to be single for the rest of my life? And is that one that I've been praying for never going to come along? Maybe we think this marriage is endless and the marriage is hard. And you wonder how long you're going to have to put up with this person that you committed to quite a while ago. We worry about finishing our education, educating our kids, buying food and clothing, paying the mortgage, keeping the car up, keeping the house up, all the things that are day-to-day necessities. And then we think, do I have to continue to deal with this person or persons in my life? Do I have to keep liking the things at church? This handicap, this pain, this loneliness, the fact that my body's aging. All those things can be really take over our thinking and cause a lot of anxiety. Elizabeth Elliot reminds us that we have a calming word in Psalm 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And you know, God's word stands forever in heaven. And his love endures, and he will never abandon the work of his hands. And you and I are the work of his hands. We're his creatures. He created us. He breathed his life into us. Other things we worry about are things that haven't happened and may never happen. So we waste a lot of time and energy and thought on these things that may never be. And when we do this, imagining the future for what it might be and worrying about it and being fearful about it, we're meddling in God's business because that belongs to him. He gives us grace for this minute, this day, this hour that we're living in. And he reminds us in his word to take one day at a time. Jesus said each day has enough trouble of its own. Not just trouble of its own, but enough trouble. I like that. What is the answer? It's not what, but it's who. God is the answer. And I believe our anxieties and fears are to be used to push us to God, to grow closer to him, to know him better, to know his character, to know his attributes, to know who he is and who he is to me, to know who I am and who I am to the Lord. What is our relationship? But we need to come to know God better. And I'm going to tell you, unless you're reading a book on the attributes of God, you're really not going to learn about who God is without studying his word. You've got to read the Bible, and you need to read it with the thought that I'm reading the Bible so that I can find out more about God, what his character qualities are, how he thinks. We'll never find that out, but we can grow closer to what he thinks. A lot of times I ask God to let me follow his thoughts in my own head so that I am thinking his thoughts after him when I'm praying about some issue that I want help with. The character quality of God that's helped me the most in my life is God's sovereignty. A lot of people aren't really keen on that, thinking that God is in control of everything and that it's not a fatalistic attitude because God has given us choice. But God is absolutely sovereign. He is in control. Nothing slips by him. Nothing falls through the cracks. And once when my son Greg was a freshman at Seattle Pacific University, he was born with a heart abnormality that was not life-threatening, but it was very, very frightening. He had heart rates up to 300 per minute, and sometimes they would last an hour or more. And then when they would convert, his heart rate would drop down to 30. And sometimes he would lose consciousness. So this first quarter at Seattle University as a freshman, he was having a really terrible episode in the middle of the night, and he called his dad and me, and of course we went immediately to get him, to take him to the hospital, so that even though we were told it wasn't life-threatening, it was really hard to think it wasn't life-threatening. And on the way to the hospital, Frank and I didn't talk at all. And I know he was praying, and I was praying too. But what I was praying was the attributes of God back to him. I kept thinking of all the things I knew about who God was. And the one thing that helped me most was to remember that God is sovereign. He's in control. And even though this situation seems out of control and we seem really far away right now, and it seems like it's going to take a long time until we get to Children's, I just had a real peace because of who God was. And I think knowing God and knowing who he is and what his attributes are help us a lot when we are in anxious times. Many times we minimize God by thinking that he's like us, that he's like you, and that he's like me. We need to remember that his ways aren't our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. They're far above ours. And in our finite minds, we really can't get our arms around them. God is so other. He's so different from anybody else. He's holy. He's totally set apart from sin. And he's not just holy. He's holy in every attribute. His sovereignty is holy. His omniscience is holy. His omnipotence is holy. His tenderness, his kindness, his trustworthiness, his faithfulness. All those things are holy, each in themselves. And he can't make mistakes. He's perfect. There isn't any way God can make a mistake. So when the difficult things come up in our lives and we look at them and we think, God's made a mistake, that isn't right thinking, because God can't make a mistake. And I think that God uses these things to push us closer to him, to draw us closer to him, to get to know him better, these hard things that he puts in our lives. And personally, this isn't everybody's theology, so you don't have to swallow it. I don't think God just allows things. I think everything that comes, God sends, because he is sovereign and he is absolutely in control. And we can take it from his hand and we can trust him. We can lean our whole weight on him and he will not let us fall. His love is incomprehensible, and our lives here and all through eternity depend on it. Our lives don't depend on ourselves. They don't depend on another individual. They don't depend on our circumstances, no matter how good or how hard they are. Our lives depend just on God. And ladies, he's the God of all comfort when our fears become reality. Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" You see how he uses the words, "I am," which is how God describes himself. He told Moses to say, "Tell them, I am sent you." And Jesus uses those words too. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the bread of life, the water of life. I'm the resurrection and the life." Because Jesus is God incarnate. And picture yourself holding Jesus' hand, just like you would hold the hand of a little child, to take care of them and to see that they're safe and to love them and to be what they need at a particular time. That's the way God takes our hand, just that same way, to see that we're always right in the center of his care. Now, blessedly, the opposite of anxiety and fearfulness are peace and joy. And in Philippians, I love this, Paul admonishes us to make our requests known with thanksgiving. And what we're doing here is thanking God in advance for the answer that he's going to give us to our prayers. So we're trusting God to give us the right answer, even if it's not the answer we think we want. And that's approaching God in the right way. That is trust. And we remember his past mercies. We thank him for what he's going to do in answer to our present prayers. And this gratitude is the path that leads us out of anxiety and out of fearfulness. We focus on God and we trust him, and he will give us his peace. I love those verses. And for a long time, I have thought when he says that, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then he will give you that peace, which passes all understanding. And I've thought of that prayerfulness like a rainbow going from the one end, when with thanksgiving we make our requests known, to when God is going to answer that, and all the time holding us in peace. I think it's a beautiful picture, and I like to think of it that way. We're going to have troubles. We can't get away from that. It's just the way it is in the life that we live. The Lord told us we would have troubles, but he's overcome those troubles, and the day will come when we won't have troubles anymore. But the troubles aren't the thing we should focus on. We need to focus on what we are in the midst of the troubles. I'd like to read you some words that Wetherill Johnson wrote. A friend sent them to me about 20 years ago. Miss Johnson started Bible Study Fellowship, and these words are profound. For the eternal substance of a thing never lies in the thing itself, but in the quality of our reaction toward it. If in hard times we are kept from resentment, held in silence, and filled with inward sweetness, that is what matters. The event that distressed us will pass from memory as a wind that passes and is gone. But what we were while the wind was blowing has eternal consequences. And I think that's really true. How we react, how we respond in the middle of the troubles that are causing our anxiety and our fearfulness will have eternal consequences. Whoops, I'm right back here. Now, getting to peace and joy isn't really easy. We have enemies along the way, and I'm going to mention three of them that are our old friends: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're going to set up roadblocks and do whatever they can do to keep us from getting from fearfulness and anxiety to peace and joy. I hope that I can express this so you can think with me through it. C.S. Lewis said, expectations are everything. And I know that's really true. I used to put all my expectations into my husband. And do you think he met them all? Do you think he had a fun time while I was putting all my expectations on him? No, it wasn't a good time at all. We need to put our expectations in the Lord, because no matter how much we love or how wonderful somebody is or how great we think they are, human beings are always going to disappoint us. That's just the way it is. So we need to put our expectations in the Lord. But having right expectations is really important from getting from anxiety and fearfulness to peace and joy. And Tim Keller, who's the pastor of Redeemer Press in New York, told this true story in one of the sermons that he was giving about a gentleman that had just moved to New York and was sort of astounded at the traffic. He had apparently come from some place where the traffic isn't like it is in New York. And in New York, it's really pretty crazy. But I don't know if he was in a car, because Dr. Keller didn't say, or whether he was just viewing this from the sidewalk. But there were two taxis in the midst of all this horrendous traffic, and one of them rear-ended the other one. And Keller said, well, what did they do? And the man said that this is what astounded him. They didn't do anything. They expected that they might get rear-ended in New York traffic. They expected that this was part of a taxi driver's job. They didn't shake their fists. They didn't pull over. They didn't get out of their taxis. They simply carried on. They simply went ahead and did what their job was for that day, to get people from place to place. They just kept on driving. Amazing. Well, speaking now, thinking of expectations and the response of these taxi drivers, let's look at the world. In this context, the world is the here and now. It's what's going on today that vexes us and worries us and leads us to anxiety. The world gives us the wrong focus. And everything going on in the world today is pretty crazy. In our own little world, that's just ourselves, in our families, in our communities, certainly in our nation, things are pretty crazy. The flesh is our own selfish selves, the part of us that wants to be God, who wants to be in charge so that nothing bad will happen. That's an impossibility. The devil wants us to look more at our sin than at our Savior. And this robs us of joy and peace. Our Savior has answered for all our sin, past, present, and future. And ladies, when the past nags at you and worries you, sometimes we're fearful that our past will come out and people will find out about our past. And we don't want them to find out about it. And we have anxieties about that. We need to remember that our past is under the blood of Christ. And then in the present, when we sin, don't agonize over it. Do you know it takes 30 seconds to confess your sin, to ask for forgiveness and receive it and carry on? And that's what we need to do. We need to keep short accounts with God, and Satan will not be able to put that roadblock in our way. And as far as the future, we'll trust that to God. Peace and joy are a frame of heart and a frame of mind. And when God is at the center and not ourselves or our fears, we're going to have a right mindset. And when we relinquish control, we will have a right frame of heart. So our hearts and minds will be where God wants them. And then we need to take courage and ask ourselves, can we wholeheartedly surrender to God? Can I wholeheartedly surrender to God, leaving quietly with him all the what ifs and the but what abouts? Can we honestly say to him, Lord, anything you choose for me to have, anything you choose for me to be, to do, to suffer, or to give back to you, I am your handmaid, and I have no agenda of my own. So hopefully, as you think about these things and nail down the fears and the anxieties that are besetting you, focus on God and his character, and don't get sidetracked. Be like those taxi drivers. When something rear-ends you, just carry on. Thank you. Maybe we should pray just really quickly. The questions are pretty pointed. I hope you'll be brave enough to answer them and really discuss openly and freely and supportively in your group. So let's just pray quickly. Father, thank you for the truths that you teach us in your word about fear and anxiety. Thank you that you've told us not to be afraid, that you've told us not to be anxious, that you've given us an example in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've given us examples in your word what to think about, what to do in order to move away from these things and into the joy and peace that you give. So when we discuss these questions in our groups, Lord, give us the freedom to be honest and help us to move on that path toward you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.